Welcome to Babbittville Radio, a place where you'll hear great conversations with the world's best and most inspirational runner, triathletes, and cyclists. Endurance lives here. Now, here's your host, USA Triathlon and Ironman Triathlon Hall of Famer, Bob Babbitt.
Welcome to Babbittville Radio. My name is Bob Babbitt. We're brought to you by Ironman U, by EveryCycle.com, the coolest new technology around, by RunCatalina.com, Catalina Marathon coming up on Saturday, March 19th, by our Challenged Athletes Foundation. We've raised over $70 million to keep challenged athletes in the game of life through sport. You can check out any of our interviews on iTunes or on Babbittville.com. Our next guest, first out of the water at the first ever Ironman Triathlon back in 1978, Mr. Ian Emberson. Ian, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. Actually sitting at the beach at a place called Makaweli, Kauai.
I love it. So you, now, did you grow up in Hawaii?
Well, I moved here. I was raised in England, and I came here in 1965 from Peru, where my parents worked for British Airways. So they were transferred from Lima to here, and then I commuted from England from high school. Well, they would call it an English boarding school.
But there's something about Hawaii that you loved.
Yep, and I knew that originally, it was 1965, and, I'd love to, we grew up in the West Indies, too, in Barbados, Jamaica, and all these tropical islands, so, what's not to like about getting sent to Hawaii?
Exactly. So, then you were a swimmer throughout your life?
Yeah, well, in those days, you had nursemaids, and they would take us to the beach, and I remember, in Barbados or Jamaica, where I was swimming before I could even walk hardly, and always loved the ocean. And when I was in a school in England, I went to one of these secondary modern schools in England, and every race they put me in, I would beat all the kids. And I guess the joke was, if all the girls had been in the sea, what a good catcher Ian would be.
Now, did you swim through high school as well?
In England, they didn't really have competitive sports. I played rugby and, cricket, those kind of sports in England. So we didn't have swimming.
Gotcha.
So we had life saving. So I got all the top awards for life saving and that kind of stuff. But we didn't. And then in 1968, when I went to University of Hawaii, it's funny, I'm reading a book about Coach Sakamoto.
Yes.
I don't know if you ever remember him, but he was that world the coach that helped, send all those Olympians.
Yes.
So I go to University of Hawaii, and I say, hey, I want to join the swim club. And there's Coach Sakamoto standing on the deck. And he says, sure, start swimming. So I'm swimming up and down the pool. And then I say to him, well, where's the rest of the team? And I say, you're it. There's no swim team. That was 1968.
Wow.
But now, it was, I feel like I'm reading his life story now, and what an honor it was to meet the guy. And say, look, I knew Coach Sakamoto.
That is so cool. And so when did you first hear about this Ironman thing?
Well, in those days, I was, very involved with the Waikiki Swim Club. In fact, when the Ironman first got announced in about 1976, 77, I was president of the Waikiki Swim Club. And everybody that was involved in putting that together, John Collins, everybody, we were all members of the club. And we were at M's Ranch House, and we were having our installation dinner. And that's when, John and Judy announced that they were going to try and put this race together. And everybody thought that was the funniest thing they heard in their life. Everybody laughed and said, it couldn't be done. But anyway, that's when it first, I don't know if you ever heard of M's Ranch House in Ainahaina. It doesn't exist anymore, but
no.
The restaurant. Yeah, it was a restaurant in Ainahaina. And that's where we used to have our annual banquets. And in those days, Waikiki Swim Club, we were all, the Maui Channel Swimmers started in 72, and every year Waikiki Swim Club would put a really great swimming team together. Back in those days, Dave Scott used to swim in the Maui Channel Swim before the Ironman was ever invented and come and swim in our race.
Right.
But, so we've always had an allegiance, and we put together great swimmers, and we would jump in the ocean, and we would swim, sometimes we'd jump in Waikiki and swim up to Port Lock or swim out to Diamond Head. We would jump on the buoys. It was a great, great group of people.
So was John announcing it for the first time, or he already had put out the word that he was doing it? He was just announcing it to the swim club.
He announced it for the first time at that evening.
And was there a, because the story that I have heard from John and Judy, there was a sort of discussion of who was the fittest athlete, if it was the swimmer, the cyclist, or the runner. And John made the decision, hey, we'll put this thing, the Waikiki Rough Water Swim, the Around Oahu Bike Ride, and the Honolulu Marathon together, and we'll find out once and for all, the winner will be called the Ironman.
Well, the funny thing is that John was mostly a swimmer, and when he thought the Round an Island Bicycle Ride, it was actually done over 2 days, and he didn't realize it was a two-day event, not a one-day event.
Right.
So when he did that, but I was always a very good swimmer, and I always felt that it always was a disadvantage for the swimmers to do this event, but that's what he came up with, and John is the brainchild behind the idea.
Exactly. So when you decided, everybody's laughing, but did you decide you were going to do the race right away, or was it a while before you thought, oh, I'll do it?
No, it wasn't. You know, in those days, I was playing rugby down in Kapilani Park,
yep.
And I had a good friend, Sterling Lewis, and he's one of the other original Ironmans.
Yeah.
And I convinced him, hey, we should, I think when it started to get going, that we're going to do this, and they needed people, and I said, sure, let's try to do it. But I guess you heard all the story of the original Ironman. None of us really rode a bicycle. I think I borrowed my bicycle 2 weeks before the event.
Yeah, I heard you do that. And you wore, like I did, you just wore, like, tennis shoes, right?
Yeah, we had tennis shoes, and we had a crew that followed us. And about every, especially on the bicycle ride, we would get off the bicycle, and then we'd have a full massage.
Yes.
And they would work us up and down and give us shaved ice and everything else under the sun.
You mean, so during the race, your crew would do that?
Oh, yeah, during the race. There was no consideration this is supposed to be a race. It was just it's just like a fun thing. We didn't care about when we finished. We were just out there enjoying it.
I love that. And so who did you use as a crew?
Well, back in those days, his name was Shiki Papilla, and another guy, by big, huge Hawaiian guy, my name is Jimmy,
uh-huh.
And my younger brother, Alan, we had about a crew of about five people. They followed us in the van. They were just, local guys. Shiki was a guy that was a fireman. The other guy worked as a custodian at the university. Shiki, I always used to look up to Shiki because, we swam at Alamoana Beach Park every day of our lives.
Right.
And, when Shiki was in his 40s, he was this, Filipino guy that was always, looked, healthy, says, I want to be like Shiki one day, and here I am, what am I, 64 now, but who knows what Shiki looks like, but in those days, he swam every day, and those are the guys that came and helped me.
So when you did, I read somewhere you did, but maybe biked about 10 miles in training.
I wouldn't think very much. I hardly even got on the bicycle.
I love that. So was that...
But you got to remember, in those days, I was the longest swimmer. I was, really swimming really hard. I was already running the Maui Channel Swim.
Right.
So I was in pretty darn good shape. I used to run, but I was not a bicyclist. But, once you're a good athlete, I think you can jump on a bicycle. If you're a good... I think swimmers have an advantage.
Yes, I agree. Yeah, I think swimmers have an advantage because they've got that motor, right? You know how to suffer, too.
Well, they've got very good cardiovascular, and they've got very good endurance.
Exactly.
But if you have those two things, you can pretty much do anything.
So you have the honor of being the first guy out of the water at the first ever Ironman, 101.40, which is still a great time. And you end up finishing, fourth overall that year?
Well, I think the second year I was first out, and I was leading the Ironman either on the bicycle.
Yes.
Or at the Soco Head on the second year, too.
Yep.
I don't think I was first out the first year. I think it was the second year.
Oh, did somebody come out in front of you?
I don't remember now, but probably I would have been first, because in those days I was probably the strongest swimmer.
I didn't see anybody whose time was even in your ballpark.
Yeah.
And then in 79, you had better, Tom Warren was there, and you outswam Tommy. You still had the best swim, and you went, 12:23 the second year and finished third, so you moved up a spot. Now, did you train any more the second year?
I don't remember training much, really.
I love that.
It's a funny thing, though, when we were doing the event, and I'll never forget this, on the second year.
Yeah.
And I was going out Coco Head, and there was a few Marines that were in the event.
Yep.
And they were coming up behind me, and they were all going, hoo, you know how they march and
yeah.
sing songs?
Yep.
And they went, hoo, 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 and ha, 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 and they went by me, and I said, great, you know. And so I go around, I don't know if you know the distance for the, with the old marathon, as you go around Cocoa Isle.
Yes, yep.
So, anyway, then my mother comes running out and gives me some oysters and all this stuff.
Wait, your mom gave your oysters?
Raw oysters.
During the marathon?
During the marathon, yeah.
Love that. That's perfect.
So I come around, and I go past them, and I'm going back towards Dinahina, coming up to Diamond Head, and I go flying by those guys. So I don't know, but I know a competitive spirit still.
I love that. And so you did the first. Now, did you feel at the time that, boy, this sport is something special, this is really going to catch on, or did you think it was just something for fun?
You know, it's a funny thing, you bring that up, and now you kick yourself a million times. Who would ever believe it, right?
Right.
But, because in those days, I was already the race director for the Maui Channel in 1976.
And right.
Organizing events. And actually, John Collins, you know, bless his heart, he never even said to any of us, well, look, he just gave it to Judy.
Valerie Silk.
To Valerie Silk. And he never came up to any of us and said, hey, do you want to help run it? He just said, hey, you take it over, because she was already running a health place.
Yeah, Nautilus, so, yeah.
So she thought, though, she was the best person. You would never have thought, you thought it was just another event. You know, there was, in those days, there was the biathlon, there was already the Maui Channel Swim. You know, there were events going on all the time. But it didn't really occur to us that it would become this, the big goss, or whatever you want to call it.
Yes. Well,
but, it's great. It's a great story. And it makes people work out and be healthy. But
you did.
But in later years, I did try to work out. I really did. I used to bicycle around the island to train. And then eventually I said, what the heck am I doing this for? It's crazy. You know, I got a family. I got kids. You know?
Four kids. Wow. So you did.
I've always told people that if you want to be a triathlete, you're either going to be rich or you got to be poor. But if you you want to be spending 5 hours or whatever it is working out, who has the time or the dedication or the luxury to do that kind of stuff? You know?
Exactly. So you did the first four. So you did the first four,
yeah.
And so you did the first three on Oahu, and then you came to Kona to do that one in 1981?
Yeah, correct. And then I came back for the 10th anniversary.
Oh, and then even when you came back in 78, did you still wore sneakers?
I did, yes.
During the bike ride.
And I still borrowed a bicycle.
So did you borrow a different bicycle every year that you raced the thing?
No. No, I don't even remember what bicycles I had, to be honest with you.
Because most people, their bike is all catered to them, and it's all set up for them. None of that.
Mine was not catered. But it's a funny thing now. My son, who became a really good bicyclist, and he did I don't know if you heard the one in Durango where you go up the mountain. It's called the
Iron Horse?
Iron Horse. He's done that several times. So, anyway, when he came back to Kauai, he bought this bicycle, and I've been using it a few times. So I thought, oh, my gosh, this is what they call luxury.
Exactly.
You know, it had shoes that fit you. You know, it's effortless. I felt like I was in a Cadillac, a well-oiled machine. But, no, I never experienced that.
So when you finished it that first year, 14 hours and 3 minutes, I'm assuming that's the longest time that you'd ever been working out at one time. What were your thoughts afterwards? Was it like, wow, that's something I did once, I don't have to do it again? Or was it something you liked it enough that you thought, hey, I might do that again?
I don't think it ever comes across your brain what you're thinking,
Right.
It's like in 1979, when I swam the Molokai Channel, it took me almost 17 hours.
Oh, wow.
And I think that's much harder than any Ironman, five Ironmans put together. I think that's more excruciating pain and agony than any Ironman.
And compare that a little bit, because the thing with if I'm riding a bike and I get tired, I can stop.
Yeah.
Right? If I'm running and I get tired, I can stop, I can walk.
Right.
swimming, right. You either swim or you die. It's sort of a tough, you know, you don't have a heck of an option.
Well, if you stop swimming, then you start to get cold, and then you start to and then if there's different currents, you may go backwards, you know. There's nothing like swimming where it's something you just keep going, you know.
So you've been organizing the Maui Channel swim since 1975?
About 1977, yeah.
Oh, 1977.
I'm still running it, yes.
And how many people do Maui Channel swim?
Usually we get about, by the way, it's the best kept secret in the world because everybody that comes, I've got many teams that come back. Some have been coming for 30 years.
Right.
It's just a wonderful event. But, you know, last year we had about 33 teams. We've been up to about as many as 60. At one time we had a solo division, but I cut it out because I got tired of the solo people. Should I be honest with you on the radio?
Yes.
They're prima donnas. You know, they think they're great athletes, and they think they can swim this channel by themselves. And most of them can't swim worth a darn, and they take 8 hours. And I'm worrying about them all the time, so I cut that out.
So how does it work? Do you have a boat next to you, and you take turns?
Yeah, you have a boat. You have a boat, and six people, and it's a lot of camaraderie, and we have a wonderful banquet afterwards. It's probably one of the most fun events anybody will ever do in their lives. And it's changed a lot of people's lives, you know, just being out the ocean. Because, you know, you got sharks, you got conditions. You know, you never know
sure.
what's going to happen out here.
We
always have tigers coming up and visiting the boats, so that's always exciting.
What time of year is Maui Channel Swim?
It's always the Saturday of Labor Day weekend.
So is that, they usually do Maui Channel, isn't that around the time of the Waikiki Rough Water as well?
Yeah, we always do it on Saturday, and they do it on Monday. In fact, the Rough Water Swim started in 1970, which I swam in the first year, believe it or not.
Wow. So you did the first ever Waikiki Rough Water, and did you do the first Maui Channel as well?
The first time I did the Maui Channel was 1975.
Okay.
So the guy that started the Maui Channel also was very instrumental in starting the Rough Water. His name was Jim Cotton.
Uh-huh.
But he really started the Rough Water Swim, too. People don't give him credit for it, but he did. The original Rough Water was really organized. It was done through the county, but it was mainly him, Jim, that put it together.
Love that. And so the Maui Channel, and you swim a certain distance, each person?
Yeah, well, each person will swim 30 minutes, and then it's a biocam walking back on the beach in the wind. Is that all right?
Yeah, that's fine.
I got to get back to my glass of wine.
Of course you do.
But anyway, yeah, this is what we do every Sunday. We come down here. My wife is raised to this ranching family to go back to the 1860s. We're one of the few people in the world that has a private beach. You can walk along and have nobody around.
Wow. So every Sunday you guys go to the beach?
Yeah, we go to the beach and we bring poo-poos and open a bottle of wine. It's a good way to end the week.
I love it. And how long does it take, in terms of teams in the Maui Channel, how long does it take the average team?
What you should do is go to our website. It's MauiChannelSwim.com.
Okay.
We post all the pictures, and we got teams from Australia. But the Aussies, they'll finish in sometimes under 3 hours. They like skip on the water.
Oh, my God. And how long is the channel?
It's almost 10 miles. They'll do it in 3 hours. And under.
Wow.
And they bring the most fabulous athletes that exist on the planet.
Oh, my God.
And we've had tons of Olympians. We've had Diane and I had all these swimmers that come, believe it or not, through the Maui Channel swim. But, yeah, there's always been this race. And for a while there, in the old days, it was Waikiki Swim Club versus the Olympic Club.
Right.
And the Olympic Club these days, you know, they send teams that are not as competitive. But, you know, I was reading a story about Coach Sakamoto.
Uh-huh.
So the Olympic Club history of sending people to swim, they were sending people to swim here in races in the 1930s to Hawaii. Isn't that amazing?
That is amazing, because it took forever to get there.
And here we are in 2016, and they're still sending swimmers over to compete.
And you're,
I don't know if they know about that history. But
are you still swimming yourself?
I never miss a day. Never.
Wow. How many days in a row?
7 days, every day. I never miss a day.
Why? I mean, has it been years since you missed a day of swimming?
I can't even imagine what I've ever, if I haven't, I can't even imagine what I've missed today, unless we're on a trip or we're traveling.
Right.
Even when we're traveling, we'll be on a cruise. I'll ditch the group and go swimming in my underpants.
Now, Ian, I feel like I've known you just because...
Yeah, I remember you. I would have looked at the website. You looked a little familiar, but you know how it was in those days, you know?
Well, and the main thing for me is I have this photo, this huge blow-up of the start of the 79 Ironman, and the first person is you. First person in photo. So So I've looked at that photo every day for the last 30 years. Yeah. So
oh my gosh.
I feel like I know this guy. And you know what? I've called my buddy Vic Wadamo and said, Vic, I have never had Ian on the show. I would be honored to have him come on and talk a little bit about those early Ironman, because that's what it was all about, going in and getting a snow cone and stopping with your buddies and just enjoying the day.
Yeah, yeah, it's a different world now, but you know, it wasn't about winning. It wasn't where you placed. It was about just doing the event and the experience.
What did you notice a difference when you went back at the 10-year anniversary in 1988 when this event all of a sudden had blown up?
I think it was pretty intense. You know, everybody was standing there. I think they were all going to pee in their pants at the start. You know.
Yes.
They were all, you know, especially when they got to the hotel and they all looked at each other and. You know, that's great, you know, but, and you know, actually, even going back to that, you know, I didn't even train properly for that, but I thought, okay, well, every mile that I finished that marathon, you know, when I was doing the last part.
Yeah.
I said, okay, well, I'm at 18 miles. I haven't run 18 miles before. I'll keep going. Okay, I'm at 20. I got past 20 now. Okay. That's how I did it, to finish.
I love that. That's, you know, then it becomes an adventure.
Yeah, yeah. So you figure, okay, well, you know, I don't know. I guess people do now train for.
Seriously.
But yes. Now, in my day, we would never go out and train for an Ironman. I'll never do the event ahead of time. That would be unthinkable.
It would be sort of cheating, right? The whole idea is to see what your fitness is.
Yeah, see if you can last.
I love it. I love it. And now, when you were doing the race back in 78, 79, did much camaraderie among you and the other athletes, or there were so few athletes, you sort of didn't see that many folks?
Well, most of us were all members of the club, of the YT Swim Club, or they were military guys. So
right, you knew them all.
Bakia Pai and Sterling and John Dunbar, but you know, John was very competitive. I was never competitive. I could care less. You know?
Right.
I didn't even care about ever winning the thing, you know.
Right.
Those days were, it was like a very, you know, like when I moved to Oahu in the 65, there was only 100,000 people living on Oahu.
Oh, my God.
So, and there was no freeways in those days, right? So you can see the exponential growth of the world everywhere.
Did you know Gordon Haller, the guy who ended up winning?
Yeah, sure, I know Gordon. He was, you know, he's a great guy. He was just, he didn't hardly make two beans. He was a taxi cab driver.
Right.
So he kept doing this event, and I don't know how he kept going back year after year. And God bless him that he kept doing it year after year.
I know. He trained seriously. He sent me his training log. I mean, he didn't do a lot of cycling, but he ran a ton. And
he was a good runner.
Yeah, yeah. Amazing. Hey, Ian, thank you so much for taking time.
Oh, you're welcome. It was great talking to you.
It really was an honor.
Come and look me up on the website.
I will. Again, we are brought to you by Ironman U, by EveryCite.com, RunCatalina.com. Check out any of our interviews on iTunes or Babbittville, and check out our Challenged Athletes Foundation at challengedathletes.org. Hold on, everyone. We will be right back.